Okay, there we are. Yeah, so I really wanted to start off by thanking Pastor Tom and all the pastors. Also, with giving honor to Pastor Tom, you got to give honor to Alice, too, because she's the first lady of the church, and it's a team, right? And then the rest of the pastoral staff here, you know, Pastor Derek, Pastor Joel, Pastor Joe, Pastor Andrew, everybody, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Joyce, everybody, since I've come here, everybody has been just so, just loving. It's just like I found a whole new family here, and I am just, my heart is just so grateful, and I just am full of gratitude for everybody who's been here. So I have to get that out at the beginning with, because I just love everybody here. All right, so how about God's word? How about God's word? If you want to stand, I'm just going to go over Ephesians 3:16. I don't know if they got it up there. I know I sent Pastor Sarah like a bunch of verses. Okay. All right. So I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. All right, let us pray. Father, I just thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for sending your Son to die and redeem us. I thank you for your most precious word. I pray that you would use me today, hide me behind the cross, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So first, I want to talk about the knowledge of God. So as it says back in that verse, it says that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So in the Bible, there's two concepts of knowledge. One is just like a head knowledge, like I know something, like I have the ability to grasp facts. But then there's another type of knowledge that is an experiential knowledge, that I know this because I've experienced it. This is something that has happened in my life, and I know this because I experienced it. And I think this is the kind of knowledge that Paul in Ephesians is praying for us, that we would know the love of God because we've experienced it, because it's touched us. It's been something that has happened to us in our life, the love of God. And this is what happens when in order to receive Christ, this is what we're receiving. We're receiving the love of God. And this is what was demonstrated at the cross, was the love of God was shown and demonstrated for us so that we could experience the love of God. There's a verse in John 17, verse 3, and this verse kind of ties in. I tie it in with the famous verse, John 3:16, where it says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." So then I follow it up with this verse in John 17, where it says that Jesus is praying now, and he's saying that, now this is eternal life. So, yeah, we're not going to perish. We're going to have eternal life. But now this is eternal life, that they may know you, O God, that we would know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent. So it's the same concept of this knowledge, that we would know the love of God, that we would know the Father. And this is the eternal life that we who believe, Jesus said that all who believe should have this eternal life. And this is what it is, that we should know the Father, that we should know and experience, in an experiential way, the love of the Father. And this week, this is the Intimacy with God conference. So it's like, this is what we're praying for this week, is that we would have this experiential, this intimacy, this love. We would have it in an intimate way, this experiential love. So many people, when I talk to people, and just for like a little bit of background, I work at a gas station. And so I manage two gas stations now. And I talk to a lot of people. And if you ever see me in church and you see me around, you always see me with my hope hat on. And that's like my subtle way of like seeping in that God is good and that there's always hope, you know? So people talk to me, and I talk to people a lot, and I tell them that, you know, I'm going to church, and they're asking me, Tony, what are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm going to church tonight. I'm going to prayer. I'm going to the youth. I'm going to Sunday. I recently have been able to have Sundays off so I can make it to church on Sunday. And when I talk to people, I tell them, you know, about going to church and everything, and they immediately, they think church religion. They think you're going to church, so you're religious. You're a religious person. But we all know that this Christian thing is not about religion. It's about relationship. And when I say the knowledge of God, the experiential knowledge, it takes the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge of Christ, the experiential knowledge to know Jesus. That's what separates us. That's what makes us different from the rest of the world. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, they're in a bad place. And so that's what I feel like is God has put on my heart to kind of talk to you guys about today, about the knowledge of Christ. So this type of knowledge is talked about in many different ways. And another aspect that is talked about knowledge, it's the same word that in Luke 1:34, when the angel came to Mary and said to Mary that you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. And this son is going to save Israel from all of their troubles. This son is going to be called the Son of the Most High. And Mary said this. Mary said, how can this be? Because I haven't known a man. So this type of knowledge is the same knowledge that is experienced between a man when a man and a wife come together and they're joined together. This is the kind of knowledge when two people are joined together. So not only is it just an experience, it's an intimate experience between two people that come together. And this is what we have when we have the knowledge of Christ. To further go into this point, there's a verse in Ephesians 5. And this is Paul, again, in Ephesians. And he says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, this is Christ, and we are the church. So Paul is making a reference, that a man and his wife should be joined together, that Christ and the church should be joined together in an intimate way, an intimate way. It's funny, I was just reading this morning in the book of Romans 6 and 3, and I think Josh talked about this a little bit, but Paul talks about how we were joined together with Christ on the cross. We were united to him with Christ on the cross. And so that if we were united to him in his death, we would be united to him in his resurrection. And we would be united in death so that we could be reunited in life and resurrected life. So it just goes together with that, in the fact that we are united. We are joined together. We are inseparable. There is no two. We are not two. There's not me and Jesus. There's us. There's one. And in particular, the church, in particular, all of us as one are united. Jesus has a bride. We are the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. And we, as the church, are united to him. And we are one with him. So going from that, I just want to just the experiential knowledge. In the fall of 2014, I just want to go into my testimony. This is something that happened to me, and this is an experience that I had. In the fall of 2014, I was in prayer, and I was reading the book of Revelation in Revelation chapter 4. It's the description of the throne in heaven. And I was like, well, if this is a real thing, I want to know about that, right? if there's a throne in heaven, I want to know about that. So I'm reading it, and I'm sitting there. I'm actually laying in a bed reading the Bible and just, you know, meditating, praying. And I'm reading there, and I'm picturing it. And it talks about all this beautiful stuff about, you know, there's jasper and rainbows and a sea of glass. There's 24 thrones that are around the throne that have the elders on. And there's these big creatures, four creatures that are around the throne. And they never stop crying, holy, holy, holy. And as I'm picturing this, I'm arranging this in my mind, suddenly I have this crazy vision where it was like I was sucked into this ball of light. And this ball of light was like, there was a big ball of light, and then there was, but it was made up of smaller balls of light. And all of this was put together, and as I was sucked into it, it was like this big squeeze hug. It was like the most love I had ever felt. It was like Jesus was just squeezing me and giving me all this love. As I describe it as like, I have my little sister over here. Shout out to my little sister. That's Liza. She is my special guest. Oh, I just love her. But when she was little, her and her sister, I would come to her, and I hadn't seen her for a week or so, and when I seen them, I just love squeezing because I just love you so much. And that's what I describe it as. It was like Jesus was just giving me this big squeeze hug just because he just loves me so much. And it was like so much that I could almost not even take all the love. And then I heard his voice, and it was like, there was, like, in this ball of light, it was, like, a bunch of people, but there was only one voice. And it was almost like the voice was coming from everybody, but it was Jesus' voice. And he said these four words to me, the most clear I've ever heard God's voice my whole life. He said these four words, can you receive it? And it was a challenge to me. It was like, can you receive all of this love? Can you receive everything that I have for you? Because I have a lot for you. Go figure. God's got a lot. And he was challenging me, can you receive all of this love? And since then, since that experience, it changed my mindset. It changed my outlook. It changed everything to the point where I was like, well, God, if you've got all this for me, I want to receive it. I want everything. Whatever you got, I want everything. So I can receive it to the best of my ability, but God, help me receive more. God, help me to be positioning myself to receive more from you. Help me to be able to grasp and get everything that you have for me. And there's been times where God has given me so much that I am just so overwhelmed with gratitude. That, you know, because I know that none of the things that have happened to me are of my own, you know, I've done, but God is just so gracious, and he gives so much. I just wanted to point out a verse that just talks about how to see, 1 John 3:1, it says, to see how great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called his children. And so this love God lavishes on us. Pastor Tom pointed out to me that the word lavish means to overflow to the point where some of it might possibly be wasted. But that's the heart of God, that, and that's how much he wants to give to us and how much he wants to lavish on us, this love that he has. It's so amazing. This amazing grace is just so great. Oh, I can't stop talking about it because God is just so good, and he just lavishes this love and just loves us so much. My heart, I was in a certain way at a point in my life where I was very cold. And this is part of my testimony. Before I had this experience, I was very bitter. I was just very cynical. The people who I was around, I didn't expect much out of. I had a heart full of disappointment. A lot of my life, I've had dealt with a lot of disappointment, and that was the root of a lot of bitterness in me. And when I had this experience, it showed me how I was just accepted And it showed me how I was just, you know, welcomed into the family, into the, you know, the picture of the smaller balls of light and the big balls of light is like the family of God. And how they are all one. And they all speak as one, and their voice is Jesus' voice. And so I just felt this acceptance, and it's been a long road since then, but God has just changed this in my heart to where now I am able to receive God's love, and then therefore knowing the love of God has caused me to be able to love better and be able to love others, you know, even people who are hard to love. Because if you had known me back then, you'd say, he'd say he's hard to love, you know? And, yeah, so, just receiving, I feel like receiving, being in a position to receive and receiving from God, there's a lot of hindrances that cause us to not be able to receive from God. And I just want to point out one in particular. Starting with this, I just want to give this verse, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." And I really want to point out again, the knowledge of God. So these things, certain strongholds, set themselves against the knowledge of God. They set themselves against this experiential knowledge. Certain things in our lives cause us that they exalt themselves, and they set themselves against that knowledge so that we can't experience this love. We can't experience this God who wants to know us, who promised us the eternal life, that is to know God in that relationship, in that experiential relationship. And I'm only going to talk about one here. I mean, there's so many, and there's, you know, a lot of different things. But I'm only going to talk about one here, and that is to receive generosity. You know, I feel like in our culture, we have this thing where it's like if somebody wants to give you something, like you feel like I didn't earn it, or if I take it, I might owe you. I'll give an example. There's a guy who I talk to. He's like kind of one of the reps that comes into my store, and he comes and services us and makes sure that we have all the products and make sure it looks all pretty so that when customers come in, they want to buy that thing, right? But he comes in and we've talked, and you know, I've shared, you know, that, you know, I'm a Christian and I go to church, and I've asked him about, you know, his faith and try to talk to him about it, but he's a very cynical guy, and he you know, this is business, we don't talk about that kind of thing. Okay, I don't press him. But then I said, "Well, hey, I have a couple, like last year, a friend of mine, we went together and bought this big cow, half a cow, 365 pounds of beef. And if you know me, I love beef. I love meat. So I had so much meat, I had so much cow that I couldn't. I have a freezer that stands this tall, and I had so much cow that I couldn't fit it. Go figure." So I left some of it at the store, in the freezer at the store. The store is pretty much my second home, so I'm like, let's use that freezer. So the guy comes in, and I'm like, "Hey, you know what? I'd love to give you a gift. Let me give you some of this beef that I have. I'd love to give it to you." He's like, "No, Tony, I can't. I can't take it from you." And I just, you know, I was offended. It's because, I mean, this is something that means a lot to me. This is something that, you know, I love. And if somebody were to say, "Hey, Tony, take some beef," I'm going to be like, "Let's do this. Yeah, let's go." So I tried to give it to him. He said, "No, I can't take it." I'm like, "Wow, okay. Well, like I said, I was a bit offended." Fast forward, there's another vendor that comes in there. And this guy, he's into working out. One of my second, you know, things that I love in life is working out. And we talk and we're talking about, you know, pre-workout. And I don't know if anybody works out, they know about this stuff. Yeah, it gives you, I always say that whenever I take pre-workout, it makes me feel like I'm Super Saiyan. And if you know about anime or anything like that. Okay, that one, not everybody knows about that. But anyways, it makes me really want to go hard and work out pretty hard. So, and that's the point of pre-workout. So I'm talking to the guy, and I'm telling him, and I'm like, yeah, you know, you have to try this. You have to try this. So then I go and find some, and I give it to him. And he's like, well, hey, how much do I owe you for this? I'm like, no, it's a gift. Just accept the gift. He's like, okay. And then the next week later, he brings me back some, go figure, he brings me back meat, venison. And I'm like, oh, thank you, brother. I'm only saying this because lately, in the past like year or so, God has really put on my heart to be generous, you know, and I feel like because I know God as a generous God, and my attempts to, you know, live as his son and to bear his nature and his character, he's really put it on my heart to be generous to people. But not all the time is my generosity received. Like, a lot of times people don't want the things that I offer them. And that is offensive to me. Like, I'm offended that, and I can only imagine how God is when he wants to give us so much. He wants to gift us so much. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who loves you give the Holy Spirit, give the good gifts to you? And in order for us to get those good gifts, we can't say, no, God, give it to somebody who's more worthy. Or no, God, give it to somebody who needs it more. Or no, God, you know, just wait till I clean up my act, and then maybe I'll take those gifts. No. God has those gifts, and he wants to give it to you because he loves you. Another quick story. I was talking to my sister, actually, and I was prophesying to her. And I said, she has her mother-in-law is one of these old church ladies. And she's old Baptist, Baptist from down south, Mississippi Baptist. And she always says, my sister always says of her mother-in-law, she's got this gift. It's like whenever you need something, if you go to her and pray, and you have her pray, it materializes like that. She's just got this gift. It's like she's got this line straight to God. And I said, well, you know, Azure, my sister, I prophesy that, you know, God wants to have that relationship with you. God wants to have that kind of line and that kind of thing with you. And I say, you know why? And she's like, well, why? Because he loves you. Oh. Like, that's not enough. Like, and this is the picture is like kind of what I was saying about how we have this knowledge, we know God loves you, but have you had that experience? Have you had that experience, that experiential knowledge? And so God wants to give these gifts to people, but it's like we have to receive it. We have to open ourselves up to receive it. So my prayer for all of us today and throughout this conference is that we would be able to receive everything that God has for us and to be able to open ourselves up to receive this knowledge, this experiential knowledge. I pray even right now. I mean, so yeah, as I pray, I mean, the worship team can come. If people want to come up to the altars, let me just pray over everybody here. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just pray for everybody here that they would have an encounter with you, that they would have an experiential knowledge of you, that they could say that I know God, I know Christ, and he loves me, and he is good. And I just praise you, Jesus, because you have revealed yourself and revealed the love of the Father, because you said this is eternal life, that they should know the Father and know Jesus whom he sent. So I just pray that everybody would be able to receive. Father, allow us to position ourselves to receive. Increase our capacity to receive from you. Increase our ability. Bind these strongholds. Cast down these things, these arguments that lift themselves, exalt themselves against the knowledge of you. Bind and cast down these strongholds so that we can receive everything that you have for us. You whose heart is a generous heart. You who have more for us than we can imagine or think. You who has more for us than we could receive. We just ask that you would pour that out upon us and position us and increase our capacity to receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen.